you all for coming today.
Greg, I'm honored to be here. I love talking about Kabbalah, love talking about tarot, astrology, and this gives me the opportunity to actually shine forth what I'm passionate about. A little bit about me. I consider myself a Kabbalist. I also practice vibrational astrology, human design, tarot, software architect. I'm passionate about digital wallets, Bitcoin, and all that fun stuff that's out there. Not so much as an investment, but as building the foundation of what Bitcoin has laid for us. So, more information about me, Josh Yates. Not me, makes it very simple. For anybody that's familiar with human design, I'm also a generator. So that means I respond by putting out there what I've learned about myself and modalities. That's why I'm also teaching. Now, before I get started in the principles of tarot, one of the services I offer is not just regular astrology, but it's vibrational astrology. Now, vibrational astrology has many names. It's kind of evolved from what's called harmonic astrology, and harmonic astrology has evolved from even an older Ptolemaic astrology, which goes back almost 2,000 years. And also with what some of you may be familiar with, music of the spheres, that's a lot of the history where vibrational astrology has evolved from. Okay? Now, the late David Cochran out of Gainesville, Florida, he built the foundation for vibrational astrology, and I learned from him through his books and teachings. But then there was another student and friend of David Cochran who actually defined all 360 degrees of our astrology chart and made it simple for where we can just apply the attributions and characteristics of the vibrations that we carry within us. And I'll show you what I mean in a minute. His name was Christopher Prodman. And the way vibrational astrology works is we have our one vibration that we carry into this lifetime. That's our natal chart. Time, place, day we were born. If we want to find the micro vibrations in us that are very strongly project outwards, inward and outwards, if I want to find my fifth vibration, the way the math works, simple terms is I take all the angles of all the planets and multiply it by five. That will give me a new chart. So I'm magnifying my astrology chart. I'm defining the vibration that is strongest within me. This is my strongest vibration that I carry. There's all the attributions that we can relate to that our brain can identify and lay, oh, this guy, he reacts this way to life. And not only that, the analysis will find the midpoints that how we normally read astrology charts. So here we can say we can see that my strongest vibration is actually a Capricorn. And it is a really tight vibration there. So I may come across as a teacher, Capricorn type of attribution. And that's how we define our strongest vibrations. Okay? The benefit is that now we can hone in on the lifestyle and activities that are most fulfilling for us, right? I'm bouncing around. I resonate with all of this that I see right here. And we can also find situations and events that are not so much beneficial for our well-being. Okay? So this is my strongest vibration. This is my second strongest vibration that I carry. transformative evolutionary force. And then this is my third strongest vibration that I carry. Restless intellectual reformer. I love the word restless because a lot of times it can get sort of a bad rap. When I get restless, I'm uncomfortable. But if we know that about ourselves, we can use the restlessness energy in a beneficial way. That's why it's important for us to know ourselves well enough and identify these vibrations, because it's who we are, right? I can't be someone else. I'm just naturally restless. So I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. All right, so one more thing. I took vibrational astrology a little bit further, and I implement tarot. I also define a lot of the temperament that we carry in a more masculine and feminine, projective, receptive visual. So I have 7 primary planets within the feminine, and then 3 masculine planets on the masculine. So I'm going to be more receptive by nature. My temperament is going to be more receptive, more sensitive to the outside world, and also my reactions to myself. Okay. I also use this modality to read charts, which will determine if we're here to create destiny or if we're here to fulfill destiny. All that means is some of us are here to serve humanity more than just blazing our own path. Okay. Our chart will reveal at least give us a good snapshot of our energy. All right. So let's get into principles of consciousness. I have a lot of material. I'll probably only get through 3 stages, but we'll see. Okay. I may slow down my talking a little bit because there's some important points that I don't want be bypassed. But what are the 22 major tarot keys? What exactly does tarot present to us? Well, tarot is the mode of the life power. The life power is all around us, modes of the life power, and the expressions of consciousness. All of consciousness and all of the life power. Tarot is a symbolic form for us to navigate this power. So it's important for us to know that no tarot key is complete in itself. We must know that the last 7 tarot keys, key 15 through key 21, unless we don't have a basic understanding of key 0 through key 14, then the effect of key 15 through key 21, we won't be able to identify a lot of the reasons that derive from the first 14 keys. Now, the tarot tableau is arranged in the exact method where key 0 is above all of creation. It's outside of creation. It's outside of manifestation. Key 0 represents the life power. And this is the reason why the life power is outside, but the fool is about to begin to enter manifestation. It's going to start a new cycle of manifestation. Cycles. Everything comes in cycles. We can see that the fool is at the edge of a mountain cliff, right? He's viewing across all of creation. He has a bag of memories over his right shoulder. He's holding a white rose. Now, the bag of memories, those are all the experiences that have guided him through manifestation. And the white rose is the purification of all the desires that the fool has experienced. So he's ready for a new journey. The fool is ready. But in order for him to, him, her, right, no male female, to experience new manifestation, which is symbolized by the white mountain peaks, the tall mountains in the background, the fool has to go back down into the valley. Now, the teachings of Kabbalah has the purpose to present understanding, growth, and expansion of unfoldment of consciousness from the universal consciousness that we all take part in. Okay, so key 1 through key 7, those are the principles of consciousness. Key 8 through key 14, that's the agencies that the principles work through. Key 15 through key 21, that's the effect from the principles working through the agencies. The effect of the previous elements involved. In other words, we will experience duality. We will experience different extremes, but we can use the principles of consciousness to help us navigate duality. The fool doesn't experience duality at the top. He's outside of everything. Fool wants to experience duality. But not only is the fool known as the life power, but in tarot he's known as superconsciousness. And why would superconsciousness desire experiences or self-expansion? Superconsciousness, I mean, knows everything. It's because of two reasons. One, our scientists have already proven that the universe is expanding. But also, simultaneously, we're all part of expansion of consciousness. So in order for super consciousness to expand consciousness, we can use the cosmos, the universe, as a physical symbol that's expanding. In order for the fool to expand consciousness, the nature of life power has to go back into cycles of reproducing aspects of itself into expanded areas of self-experience within creative expression. And that's us. We're here to be creative and express ourselves. So the divine life power will enter phases of creation, go to sleep, and then creation again, go to sleep. That's the cosmic day, cosmic night. That's what we do. As above, so below. Now, the Kabbalah Tree of Life and Tarot, we can learn the phases of our consciousness, which will begin to develop a personal higher awareness of ourselves and others. This is the liberation we're all seeking, whether we are aware of it or not. Expanded consciousness, expanded awareness. But in order for our self-awareness to transcend limitation and to be able to know many things at once, We can use the principles of consciousness to guide us there. And like it or not, we will become omnipresent. We will expand our consciousness, some of us slower, some of us faster, but we all arrive at the same place eventually. Now, the first stage of spiritual unfoldment, we notice the magician. And this is the fool who has went down in the valley. Now he's put on the costume of the magician. We are all magicians. The fool has finished his previous journey. He's beginning his new journey. The And so as we go through these seven stages of unfoldment, we need to train ourselves to start thinking in group ideas. This is a group of three tarot keys. Okay. This doesn't mean we try to eliminate the step-by-step process of focusing on one key, but we can train our mind to start thinking in group ideas, group keys. And this is the process of expanding our consciousness by changing our idea, which will open up the flow of the unity concept. Okay? And this will grow our awareness to a higher degree the more we do it. This process will also make us more sensitive to others, but that can be beneficial because we will develop a higher degree of understanding, and then we can truly radiate the gift of compassion, like genuinely being compassionate, because we'll be able to understand where others are at because we've been there. We all process differently because we're all on different journeys within this lifetime. And if we aim towards understanding the principles of consciousness, then our desire nature, which is the fire that's needed, desires is fire, is really the impact that we can provide our subconsciousness. And then the fire is the cleansing that will melt away all the appearances of the effect of key 15, the devil. I'll get into that in a minute. But for now, let's go back up to key 1, the magician. The Hebrew, in the booklet, I also have Hebrew letters for the subconscious to take snapshots of. But the Hebrew letter bet is assigned to key 1, magician, and that means house. And what exactly is a house? It's something we live in. It's our body. It's our environment. It's the mapped out experiences that we've already lived out in this life. That's a big house, right? And we are the builders of our house. We choose how to build our house. But it's also important to know that the magician is standing within the principle of limitation of attention. Okay? That's the power of limitation. When we're limited, we have the opportunity to expand our consciousness. The full superconsciousness, he's not limited. That's why we're down here in our limited bodies to create and express. It's maybe hard to notice, but here we go. Red roses, white lilies. Red roses, they're symbol for desires. White lilies, symbol for knowledge. The garden beneath the magician, that's symbol for subconsciousness. We want to grow a beautiful garden within our subconsciousness, right? The magician's eyes are closed. He's pointing down. He's got his magic wand pointed up. His attention is focused on the life power, the divine working through him to grow his garden, his subconsciousness. And this is how we cultivate our house. When we really use the power of concentration, the principle of attention. But it's up for us to create an expression of purpose so that we can map out an area in which we can work. Right? Just as an artist maps out an area to paint a picture and all the tools that's needed. It's a limited space, but a lot of power can come out of painting the picture. This is why we have limitations. It means that our self-consciousness is a mapped out area in which our house is mapped out by our higher soul, higher self, monad, higher mind. Okay, we're constantly being guided. But if we go even further, our higher soul is mapped out by the universal one. Even our higher soul is limited to a degree. But we're all connected to source so that super consciousness can work within limitation and create expressions to expand consciousness. Ultimately, just as the magicians grow in the garden, the divine is growing us. We're being grown. Humanity is very young. And we're being grown to experience the expansion of consciousness. Let's talk about duality a little bit. Assigned to key one, the magician is life and death. Beginning, end. We must understand that life and death can be very elusive to a lot of our learning with our consciousness. The symbol between life and death is the emptier the content in our consciousness and in terms of attention, the closer we are to death. Not physical death, just when it comes to just the principle of what we're paying attention to. The more alive our consciousness can be noticed through our expressions. I noticed last night at the auction, I was very alive, the auctioneer. Very powerful expressions. We need that for us to see. And that's our creativity. We're more alert, we're more watchful. Otherwise, our consciousness could fall into wonder and associations, almost like we're in a dream. And we're all guilty of it. And that's okay. Some of us will wander to our yesterdays, we'll create apprehensions for our tomorrow, and that means we're not in the now moment. But if we concentrate sharply in our houses in order to know ourselves and others and the environment, then the act of paying attention allows us to control our house. And what we do with our attention has been responsible for everything that has ever been done, everything we are, and everything we will be. When we're in love with someone, or in love with some creative endeavor, it's very obvious, right? We glow. People notice it. It radiates from us. But there's also the other side of love, and this proves that if we can tune into frequencies that could attract the opposite of love. And so, if we do experience the opposite of love, which how can we know love without experiencing the opposite of love? Even though all there is love, but as we're playing in duality, then that means something has us and we do not have it. We want to know this great power, concentration, and how to direct it correctly, because we want to have our own consciousness. That's why the principles can help guide us to get there. All right, so I'm going to talk about key eight now, agency of suggestion. And there's a woman figure, she's dressed in white. Just like the fool has white underneath this red garment, the magician. But the fool also is wearing white underneath his garment. White is symbol for purification. Okay. purified aspect of our subconsciousness is what she symbolizes. She's got complete control of the lion. Right? She has a little garden on her head that the magician has grown. The magician represents self-consciousness. She represents subconsciousness. The agency of suggestion. This is when we observe, take our self-consciousness, and then suggest to our subconsciousness how we want to react. Okay. Now, the subconsciousness will only work with what it has to work with. It's not just going to blast us the answers to everything. So as we gather life experiences through our subconsciousness, it will be recorded in our subconsciousness. And I'll get into memory in the second stage of spiritual unfoldment, but that's how we grow our consciousness, is through the agency of suggestion, which will produce the effect of appearance. All right? And before I get into the devil card, the chain of roses around the woman figure. Her roses are a systematic series of desires woven together and rightly cultivated. So a purified subconsciousness is going to have everything in order, and the desires will be the most potent suggestion to respond to. Great strength once we have purified our subconscious. And when we uniquely formulate our desires in harmony with the real nature of things, we can dominate the forces all around us. Symbolically, she's doing it with the lion. We can do it with the choices within our life and how we react to people, places, and things. All right, key 15. Most beautiful card in the tarot deck, right? The black background represents darkness and ignorance. And the central figure is an androgyne standing on a half cube. It's a pedestal and it's symbolic for imperfect understanding of the physical world. Both the delusional male and female, they have erroneous human interpretations of themselves and reality, the world. But we can see that the chains are very loosely connected to the half cube. And they can easily take the chains off. But they're choosing not to. It's because there's misunderstandings. They haven't quite figured out how easy it is to take the chains off. And a lot of us, when we look back on our life experience, if we can see where we held ourselves in bondage, and we can see how we grew from bondage, that phase in our life, finally took the chains off, hopefully we can kind of laugh and chuckle at ourselves. And that means that we've healed from that experience and we have a better understanding of why we went through that experience for our growth. Okay? The polarities of key 15 is actually mirth and bondage. So mirth means laughter. Laughter is some of the best medicine for the subconsciousness. It just clears out all the suggestibilities that were imprinted in our mind at a younger age. And if we can let go of all of that and actually look back and laugh at it, then we've released it. Okay? We're not holding ourselves in bondage. That's the concept of mirth and bondage. Good. Let's talk about the principle of memory. Second stage. I'll make sure I didn't miss any important points. One thing about the devil is we're not victims. Okay? We're actually in a phase of our life where we are outgrowing our problems. And we're in the process of experiencing broader perspectives. Okay? The devil doesn't have us. The devil is man-made. It's an apprehension. And it's just a process that we're going through. The devil plays a role. Once we're able to develop these different degrees of perspectives, then that's when we can move into understanding how we use our memory, right? The principle of memory. As we create experiences in our life from the first principle of attention, okay? The spiral motion moves into the second principle. Think of a whirling. I have groups of threes. And think of that these six tarot keys are actually working together. They're not separate. All right? When we're not giving attention to ourselves or really anything, we may perceive a lack of intensity or concentration. And that naturally is, like we mentioned before, a sort of depth, a small depth. But our degree of concentration, our degree of self-consciousness, the magician, self-consciousness, is really our degree of living. And that's how we break out of bondage. And then we experience the positive side effect. We release the negative experience, create the positive. And now we know what we want and how to live our life. Now the positive influx created within our consciousness will move us into the second stage of spiritual unfoldment. And this is the principle of memory. And where exactly does memory reside? Not our brain. Okay? The brain is just a receiving and transmitting broadcaster of frequencies. It collects patterns. In essence, memory lies beyond the physical plane. And that's why we have the conversations with our higher self, higher soul, being impacted by our higher mind. That's where memory really resides. In fact, I don't like saying it that way because memory is so far beyond our comprehension that it's just a concept for us to go by. During our growth, as we grow our consciousness. And a good example would be a piano. Human brain is like a piano. We would assume that the piano keys have memory of the tone of the key, right? Of the key note. But if that key is broken and we're pressing the key, no sounds are being released. We can press it many times, but nothing will happen. The piano key does not hold the memory of a musical key note. The same functionality to the human brain. Memory is a basic principle that is brought into action from our first stage of unfoldment, the principle of attention. Okay? We repair the piano key and it plays the note, but it doesn't hold the keynote sound within memory. So this is important. There's no such thing as lost memory, but only our ability to recollect. Recollection. Okay? how do we tap into the universal? Sometimes we call it the Akash. This is why we need to sharply pay attention to life, so that we can have sharp access to memory of what is in accordance to reality. I want to move on to the hermit, the agency of response. So memory, the principle of memory works through the agency of response symbolized by the hermit. The way we interpret life from any perspective, how we choose to act on something, such as eating food, then that will be our personal response to memory. Our memory is what drives us to experience these reactions, especially if the food was enjoyable, right? Then within our memory, within the patterns that are safe within our mind, our brain, we will respond to memory. Now, if we did not enjoy the experience of eating food, then most likely we'll repel from it. We will not. So that's how we play within duality. And that's how we get to experience the enjoyments of life. And we choose. And memory drives us just like the electromagnetic element, similar to the iron filings of a magnet. We're all attracted to what we like and enjoy. And anybody seen a magnet, little shards of metal that stick to the magnet? That's what we do with our memory. We're attracted to what we want to experience. Memory drives us, but we also must remember that it has to do with our personal will and how we respond to ourselves. Not others, ourselves. We do not forget these responses. We hold on to particular patterns. Sometimes we don't even realize some of the patterns that we hang on to. Think they're good for us until later on. It's okay. It goes back to key 15, the devil, until we learn to release ourselves from that bondage. Like alcoholism. Thought it was great until it wasn't. Right? Bondage. Now we have more freedom. Any kind of habit that may be detrimental within our consciousness growth. But here's the trick, here's the oxymoron. That experience actually helps our consciousness growth. It's just we gotta break out of it eventually. It's part of our growth, it lays the foundation. Now, I'm going to repeat again that we need to try to work in groups of threes when it comes to symbolic tarot, because we're in a third dimensional plane. Our brain operates five senses, third dimensional. But if we train our minds, then we can have different responses to memory, all of memory, even though we're in third dimensional. We can actually expand our consciousness and our awareness and access everything that is actually available. All right. The hermit, agency of response. The Hebrew letter Yod, it means response and also touch. Okay. With our five senses. Our eyes, they actually touch vibration, the camera part of our eyes, and then that is interpreted through our consciousness. Our ears, it's a mechanism that interprets sound that is connected to our consciousness. It touches vibration. Our mouth, it touches nerve endings that is registered and interpreted through our consciousness. Our nose, same concept, registers a vibration that is interpreted by our consciousness. Therefore, the sense of touch with our memory gives us the perception and the ability to express illumination or lack of illumination with our real sense of touch. And most of us misinterpret the sense of touch. Okay? And that's when we fall back into the previous stage and experience the devil of bondage. And some of us may interpret touch or perceive someone as unkind, right? Judgment. But this is really our sense of touch that is reacting in various ways. Right? But if we can use the principle of memory to our advantage, then maybe we can train our mind how to correctly react to it in a clearer way. Right? Really an unkind person is really being unkind to themselves. They're just expressing it outward to someone else. So that will take us to the tower. Within the dual constructs of the tower, we have grace and sin. This is Mars energy. That's the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is built by words, right? Human words, misinterpretations. We think we know. But this, again, this is needed for our growth. We need Mars energy to knock us down. All right, it's knocking out false ideas, delusional concepts, and then we rebuild. Our speech is a result from our thoughts. We think before we speak, which is our speech, then that is a result of the principle of memory. We think, we speak, and our speech is the expression from the degree of access that we have to memory. And whenever we are speaking to others, we're not just really saying a bunch of words. It's actually an attempt to develop a connection. We want to get in touch, a sense of touch, a response. We want to get in a sense of touch with the other person. So we need to analyze our memories of key two. Learn how to develop a new response, key 9, which will create the effect of key 16 and knock out false ideas and attitudes that we have developed in life. The tower is surrounded by bricks. Right, not stones, bricks. And our degree of energy. Our degree of ignorance will create incorrect responses to life, which brings us about to the degree of our own imprisonment and our isolated tower. So the idea of being separated from the rest of life needs to be knocked out, because we're not here to be separated from others. Another concept that's important is assigned to the principle of memory. I'll be throwing in a little bit of Kabbalah also. Unifying intelligence is assigned to high priestess. Unifying. Unity. We're all one. We all have access to memory. Okay? And then if we can knock out the idea that we're separated, we can actually access this unifying intelligence that's available to all of us. And the High Priestess is also the primary receptive aspect of the life power, the Fool, the life power. She is the pre-cosmic root substance, which is beneath all objective planes of existence. She's the first mother. She's the first matter. She's the virgin goddess. And that the scroll that she's holding that says Torah represents all of universal memory. The problem most of us have with this inaccurate understanding of memory is that the sign to the high priestess is the dual constructs of peace and strife. I talk duality again. We can either have peace or we can have strife within ourselves. When we learn to correctly remember our experiences as they should be remembered, we will have peace. Otherwise, our memory away to bring us strife. We all have our traumas, and well, do we want to live in peace or strife? We have to work through that. And she is a good symbol to meditate on because of the dual constructs that she represents. And our subconscious knows this. So as we're talking, leave these symbols up for a while, just look at them, and then we're already creating suggestions that is impacting our subconsciousness, and our subconsciousness will respond with the healing response over time. Alright? So the robe that the high priest is wearing, water streaming down from it. Right? This is key two. We haven't seen water yet in key zero or key one. It's the first time we've seen water. She's the first matter. She's the first mother. She created water. But why water? Well, water is what's considered the first mirror. Capital F, capital M, first mirror. Source created a mirror. That source can see itself. The conscious energy of the one force, source, act upon itself in the subconscious aspect of root matter brings about all physical structures. So our personal subconsciousness is a manifestation through our own body of the universal subconscious. Once again, how do we correctly use our memory? Look at key two. We can wash clean our subconsciousness. Give our idea, our suggestion to our subconscious. We want to wash it clean. We can even communicate by response to our higher soul, our higher self, our higher mind to send rays of light and guidance to help wash clean that subconscious. How that comes about is unique and different for all of us, but the intent is there. Okay? We're working with the highest aspect of ourself so that we can continue to grow our consciousness and expand our awareness. We can command this strongly, which will purify our desires, the red roses to white roses, right? Of our self-awareness, and that will give us the fire to get rid of the ignorance. Off the manually. I'm going to stand over here because I have to manually use the PowerPoint. So going back to purifying our subconsciousness, okay? So really the command that we'll give to purify our ignorance, we all have ignorance, different degrees of ignorance. Nobody's exempt, except maybe Jesus, but he won't, right? That's the most recent. we can work with our self-consciousness to, oh my goodness, our magician, create a suggestion that we want to purify our subconsciousness to release us from bondage on how to incorrectly use our memory. We're creating an intent, a genuine intent to create the fire and the flame, to work with our higher mind to get rid of the ignorance and darkness and enemy. And we will experience an awakening. Now who's the enemy? It's the enemy, right? The enemy is nothing more than our memory. How we use our memory. That's it. Nothing outside of ourselves is going to get us or cause problems. It's how we respond to our memory. When we incorrectly interpret our memory, we travel through ignorance and result strife instead of peace. All right. But just remember again the ignorance that we experience. No matter what we've done, what we've been told, all the experiences were necessary and inevitable, required for our stage of growth. We all need to realize that all strife that we experience is from our higher source, growing us, cracking the shell, right? So that we can grow through the earth, container of earth, reaching and growing towards something higher. We can use our memory to view all experiences that we see as clumsy and immature and as false appearances, but eventually that will lead us to the tower and we will experience the dual constructs of grace and sin. So as humans, we can create these labels to help us understand these concepts of how we respond to our memory. And if we believe that something outside of ourselves is causing a problem, that's the wrong idea. It's our erroneous belief. We will experience strife instead of grace. But we can meditate on the lightning bolt, key 16. It eventually strikes down this idea, and it comes from our higher source, which is always connected. And our heart, is growing our center of expression in our own vehicle. And this is a type of extension to our higher self. We're all eternal beings. We're all here sharing the same I am, the same breath. This is a unity concept. This actually brings peace when we think this way. When we have harmonic, or we harmonize our heart and our mind. That's why we have the lightning bolt to help us. It's not there to strike us down in punishment. I really like how a lot of the ancient alchemists, and even modern alchemists, they say, I am you, you are me, we all are eternity. Yeah. Yeah. Unity. So, if we genuinely remember that we are all one, then we can access the uniting intelligence, which allows us to discriminate more clearly our memory of experiences. Now, strife will just continually stir things up within us, and we'll hook into habit patterns, and we'll respond to the unhappy part of our memory. But let's just remember that the unhappy part of our memory was essential. Go ahead and take it easy on ourselves until we're ready to unhook, break the habit, and then we can experience the growth of our awareness. Also, Grace and sin seem like an extreme polarity, but sometimes when we're experiencing our own ignorance, the awakening of grace, the lightning bolt, will bring about a type of flash of illumination. Okay? So the tower is built on the foundation of misapprehensions, misunderstandings. The lightning bolt will allow us to suffer in order to experience this destruction of former beliefs. Okay. The crown, that's the false crown that we've created. The true crown is actually within us. It's not, we don't have an outside. This represents more of the materialistic type of crown. It's not the real crown. And in Kabbalah Tree of Life, Keter, is actually titled crown. That's where we want to hang. All right. Now, even after we understand these concepts, which takes time, meditation, when we focus our attention on tarot, we start absorbing these concepts, it doesn't exempt us at all from responding to old habit patterns. We just become aware of them. Some of the habit patterns we don't want to let go of because we enjoy them. But do we really? We'll find out later in life when we look back. So the more aware of our responses, and this includes humanity, collective consciousness too, the responses, we have to be consciously and continuously on guard of our individual consciousness, how we respond to ourselves and how we respond to our others. So the again, I'm going to reiterate because repeat. This is when we need each other. When we create the appropriate response, which is sign the key 9, for our vehicle, our body, our house, we will experience a true sense of touch with our memory. Every soul in humanity will experience this concept. Nobody's exempt. But also know that no soul is left behind. That goes back to the unity intelligence that the High Priestess represents. We're all here to help each other grow together. Now we're all striving together. And then when we work on ourselves and we begin to understand ourselves a little bit more, the ripple effect will present itself. Okay? The ripple effect will go out and others will correspond in their own way. The important point here is the more we know ourselves, the more we work on ourselves, then by cosmic law, our outsides must match our insides. All that means is if we truly know thyself, life gets a little bit better and easier. There will always be challenges because the way we grow and expand our consciousness, that's just how it is. We close one door, a new door opens. But the importance of understanding of how to respond to memory, that will create the experience and the effects that will allow our outsides to match our insides. Cosmic law. Vibration. Everything is vibration. We can work together on our thoughts, our hearts, our words, our actions, and this will bring about the needed changes. Again, the only way is to do our work, work on our own space, our own house that we've positioned ourselves in. We'll work with what we have in order to know thyself and accept thyself. Become the creator. We're smaller versions of the creator. It's is why we need each other. Right? Keep impacting our subconsciousness with the agency of response. Actually, the agency of suggestion. We have to suggest to our subconsciousness in order for it to respond correctly to memory. So we train our mind. The memories of yesterday have determined the effects of today. And that will also determine the range of ignorance that we experience. It will also determine how we use our memory. Because all memories are truly blessings. They are required for our growth in that particular phase of life that we were in, and the particular phase of life that we're in now. Always remember that our higher mind, our higher soul is guiding us. We will be struck by the lightning bolt. And it's necessary. It will cause havoc because we are not designed to be isolated in the tower. It's not only about destruction, but again, polarity assigned to the tower, grace and sin. We will experience grace, which will slash our perception of appearances which we thought were the devil. We begin to react differently to our thoughts and memory. Our habitual responses change. We grow through and beyond our problems. Problems don't go away, we grow through them. We use the problems of yesterday to grow our awareness. Lightning flash also, if we change our perspective, when life becomes destructive, if we can change our perspective that we're washing away all the rubbish that we're being held back with and know that we're being grown, we open up space to receive new. What we consider is part of our growth. That's our higher source responding to us. Now that we've washed away the old ideas and old beliefs. If we can respond from the heart, not so much the mind, we need the coherence of the heart and the mind, and aim towards unity, then that will create the conjunction for better everyday conditions. Heart and mind together. That will also melt away old habitual habit patterns. And we'll experience more liberation than we would a bondage. Okay? But we have to be willing to work together for these understandings. That's why we come to these conferences, we share. We have to be willing to open ourselves to these techniques, the thinking, the feeling, and the correct kind of response will pour out of ourselves, which is part of the universal will, and we will be serving to a degree, the creator. Okay? And that's our next level of development that we're in while humanity is in, because we're still relatively young. Real quick, just to give an idea, because I won't be able to get to towards the sixth or seventh stage of unfoldment, but there's five kingdoms. There's the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, animal kingdom, human kingdom, which is us. We're the most intelligent animals on earth. We have our own kingdom. And then there's the soul kingdom. That's the fifth kingdom. And that's what humanity is growing into. Okay? There's a lot of us on the lesser degree of humanity, because we could say we're young souls or old souls, but either way, we're all going and growing the soul kingdom, which our brain cannot even really comprehend at this point of our growth. And that's what makes life so interesting. We have to be willing to experience the response of the tragedy of destruction. Okay? It's needed. And this is how we help each other. by us helping each other, we're actually experiencing some of the most difficult potentialities in the universe, not just on Earth. So consciousness has been proven, it's physically, it's physically growing, but we're here experiencing and creating the expansion of consciousness. Can't really see it, we just know it's happening. Okay? Stay on that second stage for a while because it's so important. But let's go to the third principle. Before I get to principle imagination, I'm going to step back one more time. We're going to go through it because repeat. That's important. What we pay attention to, principle of attention, is what we send as a suggestion to our subconsciousness that we want to create, experience, manifest. The effect will be either bondage or mirth. Okay? We'll either laugh at the response or we will hold ourselves in bondage. But all of that determines on how we use our memory, because our subconsciousness will respond from the universal memory, or also our personal memory, but the universal memory. We'll respond for what we're ready for. It would only work with what we have in this lifetime. If we understand universal law, we can access higher degrees of understanding. And if we experience peace, then it's a good response. We feel good. Else, we'll experience strife and we'll also experience either grace or sin, which is assigned to E16, the top. Now, the fool's getting ready to enter the third principle, which is imagination. Our whirling of 9 tarot keys are all coinciding together now. That means our consciousness has expanded, our awareness has expanded. In that moment, let's also remember that there's different aspects of ourself that may be farther along than other aspects of ourself. For example, some of our growth may already be in the third stage of unfoldment, while we may be also experiencing an aspect of ourself that's only in the first stage. Again, no step-by-step process, we got to think in unity terms, in groups, because that's how we expand our awareness. All right? For example, baby has to learn to crawl before it can walk. I mean, we're already through the 7 stages of unfoldment when it comes to walking, right? But a baby is only in the first stage. We can actually use our kids as reflections of their awareness and their growth and how we can guide them through their own understandings. But key 3, let's go there. Let's talk about super consciousness is now entering the third stage of spiritual unfoldment, the principle of imagination. As we're being continuously grown, consciousness is being grown, we eventually get to the point where we no longer see the devil, we no longer see the Tower of Babel, we have this beautiful woman who represents Mother Nature, and we begin to have the effect of meditation. That's what we can call it, meditation. Empress, though, she is the same woman that was in Key 2. The High Priestess, the first mother, but now we have a pregnant mother. She's pregnant with the World of Forms. She's the great mother. But who is she pregnant by? She represents Venus. She's pregnant by Mars. Divine feminine, divine masculine. She actually represents the internal development that produces the external manifestations that we create. This includes every thought that we've ever had, every mental image. Remember, she's also key to memory. Everything we've created, every pattern of energy that we have created is represented by the Divine Mother, the Empress, principle of imagination. Okay. Now, a lot of our mental imagery comes from culture, society, families, and all these are influences that are, especially when we're young, the suggestibility of it is more impactful. Right? When we're young, we haven't lived long enough to create experiences, to create our own perceptions or understandings, to make the choices that would result in grace or sin, okay, or peace and strife. The duality construct assigned to Key 3, the Empress, is wisdom and folly. Okay? And with all consciousness, there's different degrees of wisdom and different degrees of folly. When we're younger, different degrees of wisdom and folly. When we get older, it changes. So there is no one wisdom, one folly. It's all in degrees. Think of a circle. Cycles. We're all in a cycle of growth. Some of us may view others and their actions as folly. But let's remember again, in order to expedite our consciousness growth, we should aim to see from our heart. Use our mind, but try to see from our heart. And this will genuinely utilize the principle of imagination. We're able to see through appearances of P15, the devil, and then it will begin to open up the beauty in the world that we're all here to experience so that we can obtain wisdom. No longer experience the folly, we'll see the beauty. Wisdom. Some of the symbols. I'm trying to focus on concepts here. I'd like to have. I like to focus on symbols on the individual cards separately, but I will talk a little bit about symbol because it's important. But the concept of each tarot key has thousands of symbols within it. That's why we have to do our part, meditate, and understand what these symbols mean so that our subconsciousness can respond correctly. Right, but as for the water that's coming down the stream into the pool, that water comes from the High Priestess, her dress. It's being directed by the magician, key one, with his focus and concentration. The magician is bridging the union of opposites of divine masculine and divine feminine. That's represented by the pool of water, the joining together. That is the accumulation of influences that the magician on the self-conscious level has guided through the power of suggestion that will impact our memory, create the response that strains forth into the pool of water. We all have our pools of water. Okay. In Kabbalah, the luminous intelligence is assigned to key three. And that determines how our suggestions of the self-consciousness has resulted in either wisdom or folly. Okay. This means that our observations are either accurate or profound and profound, or our subconsciousness will, and then our subconsciousness will respond on the side of wisdom. But if we're not accurate on our observation, we'll be on the folly side of duality. And how we perceive people, places, and things in ourselves will either be wisdom or folly. But the luminous intelligence reminds us that how we present ourselves to the world on a daily basis, our Venus aspect, that's Venus, will shine forth love, beauty, and when we're in love, we glow, we radiate. That's the luminous intelligence that shines from us. Key 10. The agency of grasp. Now, if we can correctly implement the luminous intelligence assigned to key three, then we will experience the rewarding intelligence assigned to key 10. Jupiter is assigned to key 10. And in astrology, Jupiter is all about give, 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 rewards, rewards. That's why the Wheel of Fortune is assign the rewarding intelligence based on our response, on how we responded to our memory to create and perceive beauty, we will be rewarded. And rewarding intelligence is about establishing harmony. It's not about riches and gold and wealth, harmony. The wheel will continue to turn. The Wheel of Fortune. That's evolution. That's humanity's growth. That's our individual growth. And we all need this intelligence because of the rotation of circumstances that we experience from preceding causes. Okay. Kaf is the Hebrew letter, and it's assigned grasp. What does grasp mean? It means we got a hold of something, right? We got a hold of it. And when we take hold of our mentality by being very clear with comprehending our thoughts, which are spinning and whirling, just like the Wheel of Fortune, then our rotation from day-to-day experience will bring the greater fortune of Jupiter. Venus is actually assigned the lesser fortune. Fortune can continue to grow. All right. It's not going to just arrive. It's already here. The divine influx is actually raining down all around us. But can we perceive it? Okay. That's the rewarding intelligence. We don't have to go seeking for it on the outside. We can work on our insides. We will receive. That's what Kabbalah means, is to receive. That's all Kabbalah means. When we're ready to receive, we will receive. All right, our quest for abundance in response to key 9, the Hermit. Nothing more than recollection or memory. And then we will experience the beauty. The duality assigned to the Wheel of Fortune is wealth and poverty. Our outsides must match our insides. Doesn't mean the richest people on earth are experiencing wealth. They could be farther along in poverty than what it may seem. That's why we got to see through appearances. The devil. wealth can be nothing more than terms of experience of self-discovery. Whereas poverty could be the motion of life that lacks imagination. Imagination is a principle for a reason. If we can get to a point where we can creatively use our imagination, then we will experience wealth. Okay? There is always growth, even with interferences, which can be a type of illusion. Meaning, what may appear as a difficulty and probably feels as a difficulty is nothing more than an opportunity for growth, which eventually will lead us through the empress, and we will experience the lesser fortune. Then we'll experience the greater fortune once we grasp that difficulty and have a better understanding. Builds a foundation. Okay? All our past experiences build foundations. All right, key 17. I'm going to move along. This will be the last one we talk about. And we're all centers of expression for the one creator. And we're unfolding with realizations, with the ability to perceive correctly, truth, which is all around us. Truth is not hidden anywhere. Mother Nature represents truth. And that's why she's new, by the way. That symbol, that truth is not hidden from anyone. We only have one veil, and that is our human ignorance. Okay? Key 15, the devil, represents ignorance. And then key 16 is another degree of veil of separation. So ignorance and separation keeps us from experiencing what Mother Nature, or what key 17, the truth of the star, represents as truth. Okay. Also, when our unfoldment, our whirling of consciousness has expanded to key 17, we can know that this is also another, this is an extension of what we're paying attention to. When we're able to control our thoughts and go into meditation, we're using the principle of attention, key one, to enter meditation and contemplation. But if we have our eyes open and we're distracted, as symbolic, then we're not actually experiencing the effect of meditation. We don't have a grasp on the degree of concentration needed to access the eternal truth within us. And she's available for the quiet mind, okay? She's got the two vases. One vase represents self-consciousness. The other vase represents subconsciousness. The five little streams on the land represent the five senses, but the water comes from the same source. All right, she's allowing us to use our five senses, pull from the source, which is symbol for water, or I should say water is symbol for source, memory, and then we experience what we need to experience for our growth. The water streams back into the universal memory. There's no separateness. Zadi, the Hebrew letter Zadi, is assigned to key 17. And this is important because it means fishhook. Okay? All the Hebrew letters have a noun meaning and a verb meaning. Okay? Key one, that means house. Zadi, assigned the star, means fishhook. Now, what exactly is a fishhook? And what is it used for? It's made for catching fish. Okay. Where are fish? They're and water. We use our fish hook to go fishing in the cosmic mental substance, right? The universal memory. That's why we enter meditation, is to go fishing. We use our fish hook. But how do we use our fish hook? Sometimes we have to shift our attention in a creative way to catch fish. We have to angle our fish hook a certain way. What are we focusing on? What are we using the first principle for? And that's where our meditation will take us, through the principle of imagination. We use our imagination to get to how we want to meditate. When we angle our fish hook within the universal memory, we're actually trying to find, we can think back to key one, between the polarities of life and death, okay? Sign of key one is life, the polarities of life and death. But when we meditate, a lot of the concepts that we're doing is we're attempting to find our meaning by going fishing. That's a broad statement, but we can do that on a daily basis also. We're stirring the consciousness within us. And when we stir the consciousness within us, we're stirring the universal consciousness, which the woman figure is doing in key 17. So we're constantly angling our fish hook to search for different experiences, different perspectives, different attitudes, different degrees of liberation, moments of learning. Right? We're all seeking the discovery and revelation of who and what we are. Revelation is also assigned to key 17. And all these attributions are in the booklet. Right? The woman also is symbol for balance. And she's actually letting us know that we can go for experience what we need to experience while everything is maintained in balance, even though it may not appear that way. All right, and finally, and then we'll close, the seven stars above the woman, their white, means purification. How many chakras do we have? We have seven within the third dimensional plane. We purify our chakra system, then we will experience that balance and harmony that we're all seeking. Notice the bird on the tree, just sitting there quietly waiting, and that's symbolic for the bird is a natural fish hook, and is waiting for the quiet mind so that truth can unveil itself while we're in meditation. All right, let's close with a quick review of three principles. Unfortunately, we're all tired. We won't get to stage four, or fourth stage through seventh stage, but I do have all the lectures, all the videos, they're all on my website, and feel free to visit those. But key one, the magician. When we select an object, we have a fixed attention that focuses on that object, that creates the mental processes of suggestions. Let's go back. Okay. Fixed attention. We're creating the suggestion to our subconscious. Then we will associate those suggestions to our memory, which will respond to our basis of understanding, basis, where we're at in our life. And that will create either grace or sin. Okay.
effect of awakening.
And finally, once we've experienced the destruction of old ideas, we can become more creative. We use our mental imagery that will gather all the impressions that we've collected, which is keeping the stream of consciousness and humanity flowing. We'll experience the effect of meditation. Right? So the revelations will begin to unfold, and the whirling of energies will clear out old perceptions. And that's the part of the miracle of consciousness. Mother Nature, she allows us, the Empress, not Mother Nature, Divine Mother allows us to have these experiences in the world of form, represented by her being pregnant, so that we can experience limitation to expand our consciousness and expand our awareness. Right, that's the miracle of consciousness. And I'm going to stop there, but you can see here how I go into the fourth stage of unfoldment. Our whirling of awareness will expand. Whatever we're paying attention to will expand out to the principle of reason, on to the fifth stage of spiritual unfoldment, the sixth stage of spiritual unfoldment, and then finally the seventh stage of spiritual unfoldment. Okay? We all want to end up dancing in the world with joy, right? Just as Key 21 shows, and we leave the signature on this world when we experience our final death. We leave a signature, and this is what we want to symbolize after we move on to the next plane or wherever we go at. So those are the seven stages of unfoldment that super consciousness, which is all of us, desire, capital D, super consciousness has desired to experience duality and use the principles to help navigate super consciousness. Voluntary life, I go in depth about that, but it's a lot. Thank you.
The overall template of how this is analyzed, is this your own work, or was there a contributory source that allowed you to organize it?
Yeah, there was an original source which was on the back of the book. I actually acknowledged Ann Davies and Paul Foster Case, and then I sort of built on top of their. Because there's really nothing new. We just kind of take what works for us, build onto it, eventually try to teach it because it seems to work for me.
Also, how do you reconcile, you know, the big concepts with little concepts of the four sweets and did I get the job or, you know, will she let me, you know, marry me or whatever? You know, how do you do the worldly events?
Oh, yeah.
That's supernal.
Well, again, it's how we react to the world events, right? So that falls under the principles that we're teaching. If I am distressed to a worldly event, and if I slow down my mind, think about the principles of consciousness, the response I'm having, I can actually meditate and then access my memory on how I'm responding to it. I already know I'm powerless over people, places, and things, right? I can't control anything outside myself. I can't control it. But I can control myself and how I respond to it. I'll slow down and I'll use tarot and then meditate and reflect on it that way. But if I do have a situation coming up, like a new job, then I do use the minor arcana also. Okay? I will pull a spread on myself after I set my intent, and then how I interpret the message will determine my reaction moving forward to the potential job. That normally calms my nervous system. the symbols. I love symbols because they can prepare us also for future endeavors. I do have tarot decks if anybody needs them. I'm a tangible guy. I create apps also, a digital tarot, but if anybody's interested in tarot decks. Yes.